Hiya, Wanju. Hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. One of the more exciting news points in recent weeks has been the announcement of the new First Nations initiative, Demulgurra Stories. Founded by Larrakia man Kian McHugh and of Moogie Downs Productions, and award-winning casting director and producer Sarah Price of Castaway Northern Territory, Demulgurra Stories aims to transform the way productions work with First Nations cast, crew, and creatives both on and off screen, providing resources, protocols, and trainings rooted in cultural integrity, collaboration, and empowerment. I caught up with Kian and Sarah ahead of the launch of Demulgurra Stories at Screen Forever on the Gold Coast this week to talk about the foundation of Demulgurra Stories, the change in First Nations storytelling in Australia, and how young and emerging First Nations talent can engage in storytelling. For more information, I encourage you to head over to thecurb.com.au to read the press release. I'll stick a link in the show notes. If you also want to find out more about what we do on The Curb, then yeah, head on over there, thecurb.com.au once again, or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Blue Sky at thecurb.au. We are a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. And if you visit patreon.com/thecurb.au, you can support our work from as little as $1 a month. If you're unable to financially support us, that's okay. Please consider sharing this interview with your film-loving friends. We'd also love it if you could rate and review us on a podcast player of your choice. Every review helps amplify the interviews and stories from filmmakers to a wider audience. Right, enough of me. On with the chat with Kian and Sarah. Open up by just starting talking about where this initiative came from. How did you both come up with the idea to kick this initiative off?
Yeah, I guess that Sarah and I both come from different parts of the industry, and we've both sort of seen a few things that have been not right over the years, and we did come together and work on a production together a couple of years ago called Territory, which was with Netflix. And we just started talking, and being long-term Territorians, it's sort of the thing we clicked straight off from the offset. But the more we sort of started talking about a few things here and there within the industry, we both could see the holes in the industry and where those gaps were, and we just spending, I guess, like the best part of 6 weeks working alongside each other, we just sort of, thought that this would be the best way forward. So this isn't something that just popped up overnight. Like, we've been talking about this one for well over 12 months now, probably heading towards 18 months. So, It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the serendipitous thing, we'd both been thinking about it separately, and then we sort of came together and, yeah. It sort of happened.
Yeah.
I understand it's Demulgurra is the Larrakia word for heart, which is, it's beautiful that you're using that as kind of a name for the initiative too. Can you talk about bringing heart back into this creative process and making sure that that's a foundational thing of what you're trying to do as well?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I guess it's, what happens so often is that people can get caught up in the production, in the glitz and the glamour of it all, and I guess along the way sometimes things might not I guess cast and crew might not feel safe and supported, and that was where we wanted to sort of take a step back and put a face to the productions, make sure it's not a faceless production, and we're not just here to tell the story. We're here to tell a story, but we're here to do it the right way, and be driven by those storytellers at the back end, and just make sure that it's moving forward. Everyone feels like got a seat at the table, so trying to do everything across every facet of production with heart, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also important to know that without that heart, that infrastructure and those systems, it productions really are at risk. You know, there's really strong reputational risk for cast and crew, but also for the productions themselves, which is really important.
Yeah, definitely.
And to me, I understand cultural safety is a huge part of what you'd be aiming to do as well, not just having the right cultural stories being told, but the cultural safety from the start to the end, ensuring that that's in place. How does that look on a practical level?
Well, on a practical level, I guess it all comes down to just, you know, kicking off those conversations, you know, straight out the gate. You know, for instance, like what I like to do with my background in the factual world is, you know, spend the best part of 18 to 12 months before principal photography kicks off, going out and talking to people on the ground. You know, for instance, I co-produced a TV series called The First Inventors with Lundy Media. And, you know, there were many people that I went out and spoke to the best part of like 10 times in that 18 to 12 months, you know, before we even got cameras out rolling, just to make sure everyone knew what we were trying to achieve and that we were doing it the right way moving forward. I guess it's a long way of saying that, you know, just coming at it from the offset of going, all right, who do we need to talk to make sure that we can get this right? And yeah, just making sure that you set that foundation from day to dot, because so often what happens is with these productions is people come in and they try to rush things, and then basically you might have TOs and stuff who aren't really across what you're even there to do. Like, they've sort of been consulted about, they know that there's a production coming, and then, you know, they filming starts and they're sort of like, oh, well, you know, I'm actually not 100% across all of this. So we want to, like, try and make sure that just, yeah, every part of the production is done appropriately, and that means that we're going to have to cater each sort of, I guess, plan for each production and what they're trying to set out and do, because it might be that culture front and centre, you know, for instance, and then there's a lot more cladding and stuff that we have to, in preparation that we have to put in place. You know, from concept development all the way out through to post. But if it's something that's more like in terms of scripted or something like that, you know, we have to take a different approach to it as well. So it's just making sure we know what we're in store for, and then setting out and, you know, getting the skates on straight off, straight out the door. Yep.
Sarah, did you want to add to that as well?
No, I mean, that was a very comprehensive answer, but I think it is very much, yeah, it's across all the layers of production. And we know that production is an incredibly layered, you know, endeavor. So yeah, it is from very early, you know, script development right through to post production, but even, you know, marketing and legacy and, you know, the impact of these productions. It's once the cameras have stopped rolling and, you know, the edit suite's done, it's that actually managing the impact and the legacy of that production on those communities as well.
Yeah, and I imagine as well, like I see it from a media perspective. Obviously, I'm usually coming at the tail end of everything, talking with people like yourself, usually after a production's wrapped and you're doing the distribution and all this kind of stuff. So I imagine that part of it would play into it too, and how the media talks to people about productions.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I think that one thing that sort of I haven't gone so in depth about is just trying to make sure that it is meaningful engagement with community, and making sure, like, you know, like I said before, everyone is aware of what is happening, but then in the aftermath, what, you know, that could spell for the community in terms of, like, you know, media approaching them, or if they're, you know, in the case of like impact production, you know, if that means that the community still has more to be a part of, you know, like, you know, for me, especially coming from the territory, you know, like, my goal is always what's sustainable, what's long-term, you know? We come in, you know, we're telling these people stories, and then, you know, see it, thanks, you know, we're out once production finishes a lot of the time, which I hate doing that. You know, I always try to set up these long-term, you know, relationships with people, and I still to this day, you know, like I'll see this old man around town, and we always, like, we'll sit down and have a yarn every time, you know, I see him, you know? But it's about what we can do with the community that, you know, it might be something like, you know, getting some young fellas on board to come work with me, you know, pick up a camera or whatever it might be. And, yeah, I think that it's we're really excited to see what it's going to be like for each of these productions, because, you know, I just want to make sure that there is that ongoing, you know, engagement once the cameras stop rolling.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
There's been a change in First Nations stories on screen for a while now, but in the past kind of 10 years, we've seen a lot more authorial more directors, more producers, more writers coming from First Nation voices across Australia. And that's so brilliant to see because it's changing how stories are told as well. And I imagine that underpins what you're aiming to do with this initiative. Can you talk about your own personal perspectives of seeing that change in Australian cinema and TV of how First Nation stories are told from a First Nation perspective?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, like, so my background, I came into the industry as, you know, mostly in post-production, but also as a camera operator. And, you know, once I started to delve a little bit more into being a producer, I thought, you know, we've been telling First Nation stories forever, so everything should be pretty above board. But then, you know, once I got into that hot seat, I was like, Jesus, there's a lot of stuff here that's really, it's not right, you know? And that's what I thought, you know, we need to have more of these voices coming into it. And it has looked like the tide has turned in the last 10 years, for sure. I think it really leans into more authentic storytelling, you know, which comes back to that heart that we've been talking about. Because for me, authenticity is key, you know, like it's really, you know, like we've got a tokenism problem in Australia, I think, when it comes to storytelling, especially with First Nation storytelling, because it's like the flavour of the month. And, you know, You have people coming in who want to tell these First Nation stories without actually going the right way about it. And, you know, it's more, I guess they've got that Hollywood lens over the top of everything. And I think the stronger First Nations sort of voices that we have behind the camera, the better they'll be in front of the camera. And, yeah, I really think that, you know, sort of we are getting to that stage now where people are starting to, the voices are getting louder. And, you know, I'm all about, like, empowering, you know, First Nations voices in front of the camera. So, yeah, it's been really good to see over the last 10 years people sort of, you know, getting more involved and, yeah, just having a louder voice. Because I think, like, you know, the other thing that I've seen in the industry is that people have sort of been a little bit quick to say yes about things just to try to get a foot in the door. But now I think we've got that power back and, you know, we've got the power to tell the stories that they need to be told, where they need to be told, I should say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So a bit of a ramble here. I'm just trying to dodge the sun. Like, I keep sort of moving because the sun is, like,
And there is such demand, you know, for First Nations talent. Like, as a casting director, I'm constantly, you know, because we do work with large Aboriginal population in the territory, you know, I'm constantly getting requests to help source Aboriginal talent for various roles. And so producers really want to work with Aboriginal talent, but there has to be, you know, sort of embedded in that process a level of trust and relationship building. And so, yeah, I think that's what we can really, really contribute to and build with producers.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Ken, as you mentioned, like there is a level of tokenism that occurs in Australia, and to me it's also cultural tourism in a way. Like, there is white producers, white storytellers tend to do a lot of cultural tourism or misunderstanding of First Nations stories. Again, it's kind of leading back into what you were just talking about, but breaking those barriers down and stereotypes and understanding of how white creatives can interact and engage with First Nation storytellers. Is that something that you're aiming to change or shift the perspective onto?
Yeah, look, I think so. And just going back to what you said before about, like, having more First Nations creatives, like, there is a little bit of that now where, you know, obviously there's more First Nations writers involved. And I think, trying to get the producers involved from the offset, and just, you know, it falls back on us to just be able to say, you know, have the power to say, no, look, that's not appropriate. This is the way we should do it. Because, you know, so often I've had scripts and things put in front of me where there's a character who's, you know, it's a collaborative process, but, like, there may be a character that's written a certain way where it's sort of like, you know, people have this idea that they've seen a black fellow on TV once upon a time, so they have this idea about what they should look like or sound like. And, you know, for us to, you know, I guess, come at it as it's a collaboration. I'll start again and just say, look, I think we all need to walk together. And I think, you know, for non-First Nations producers to come to First Nations creatives and say, look, how do we go about this? Let's work together. I think that's the best way forward. again, yeah, it comes back to the First Nations creators having that power to be able to say what's right and wrong.
For emerging storytellers, First Nations storytellers in particular, what kind of advice would you both give? Sarah, you talked about there being, you know, a lot of appetite for First Nations presence in casting and casting more First Nations people. But, you know, giving the power to people, I know we've all got cameras in our phones and stuff like that. Is that a form of storytelling that you encourage people to do from a young age? What kind of path would you encourage people to do from their own storytelling perspective?
Do you mean in a sense of non First Nations producers working with First Nations producers?
No, I mean like First Nations kids, I guess, emerging kids or emerging talent, how they would be best to kind of, what kind of initiatives or besides what you're both putting forward, what kind of projects or initiatives or work can they do to help strengthen their own storytelling on screen?
I guess just telling stories. Like you said, everyone has a phone, has a device by which stories can be told sort of in their pocket now. And the more you tell stories, the better you get at it. So I think, yeah, just get out, tell the stories, get out there.
Yeah, for sure. It's look, that's something that's a real dream of mine is to be able to empower kids to do that. You know, like I work in a lot of, like I could probably point to a map of the top end and see which communities I haven't worked in, more so than which ones I have. But, you know, like, I guess with disadvantage, that's the first hurdle that a lot of kids have to get over. And, you know, when I work with kids like that, like, it is that thing of just saying, get your phone on, you know. You know, you mob sit around and, like, you know, you're always telling stories amongst each other. You know, the elders are telling stories all the time. And, like, I hear some really great stories come out of communities from young kids who just, like, you know, they're sitting around, they're like, oh, I want to tell this cool thing. And we're like, I was on my bike and I was doing X, Y, and Z. I was like, well, why don't you, you know, like, like Sarah said, the more that I guess you build that skill of storytelling, the better you'll be. And I think we're at a time now where everybody has that technology in their pocket to be able to at least, like, it's not going to look like something that Spielberg shot, but you know it's going to be a story that's yours. You know, a story that you can get out there and you can always build on it if you're filming off your phone, for instance. It's an interesting space. You know, like I'm actually, at the moment, I am trying to work with some mob around like the Central Arnhem region to do just that. Like we're working with a lot of kids to try and get them to sort of build their storytelling, you know, which a lot of that comes with actually, you know, being, I guess, not being shamed, like getting them that shame job. Because I'll sit down with kids and they'll be going like, you know, they're real characters and real storytellers. But then as soon as you go, oh, do you want to get in front of the camera? As soon as you pull the camera out, a lot of kids sort of just shut down. So I guess it's a matter of trying to, you know, build those storytelling skills, but then also like build people up, you know, as people and just giving them the power to be able to tell stories in front of other people.
And I think also being available for opportunities, you know, there are opportunities now, you know, the Aboriginal creatives are very much in demand. And certainly as a casting director, like I said, I constantly get requests from producers who want to work with Aboriginal talent. So putting your hand up is also a really great spot and just, yeah, getting out.
They're out there. They are. I've just come back off an initiative that was down in Sydney last week, and a real, you know, a bunch of young storytellers coming out of that who are like, you know, I'm really excited to see where they go from there. And again, like some of them were from, you know, our neck of the woods. Some were from up in the Kimberley, you know. And it's just like, yeah, just getting, I guess, being able to get that opportunity to get a foot in the door, whatever that might look like, you know. Like if kids want to do it, they should just club dogs once.
Yeah, that's really so comforting to hear as well, because the, you know, emerging storytellers are great, established storytellers are great, but just getting to see it grow and grow and grow is just seeing the change of Australian cinema and TV. It's just exciting. It means that, you know, it's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So launching at Screen Forever, let's wrap up by talking about that. What are your hopes and dreams and intentions with the launch at Screen Forever?
Well, for me, I think we just want people to get excited about what we're doing and yeah, we want to work with everyone, with producers or anyone that's whatever is on their slate. We're really keen to have a chat to them about it and see how we can add value and help make those stories really great.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I'm really excited to see what, you know, what it will spell for the industry. You know, like hopefully generating that buzz, like Sarah was saying, and getting, you know, getting people excited about what we're doing will sort of make sure that we're doing everything the right way, in a way that, you know, I think will help build our stories. You know, like it's not, we're not trying to like, you know, stifle anyone's creativity here. We're trying to help it flourish, you know. And that's walking hand in hand and making sure that we're all doing everything the right way from the offset. So really excited to see what the next 6 or 12 months look like.
Thanks for listening to this chat with Ian and Sarah. For other interviews and reviews, visit thecurb.com.au. Please rate, review and share this interview with your film-loving friends. We hope they like it as much as you have. I'll see you on the next one.